Hey Fadies, thanks for listening to The Fate of Ison. I'm DM Brad, and this is Chapter 5, Episode 16. We're at the end of June 2020, and that marks 2 years of us being a podcast.
Woo!
Woo! Yeah, I'm going to insert a trumpet sound there. But I'm also going to keep this part where I talk about inserting a trumpet sound. Happy second birthday, us! We've had a very fun ride so far with amazing core players, Oliver, Josh, Jules, and Jules, as well as incredible guests. Adam Wright, Alex White-Robinson, Patch Lambert, Irene Cucci, Mel Zimmerman, Craig Savage, Gerard Papu, Daniel John Smith, Robert Baldino, and Monty Sampson. We look forward to many more fantastic gaming moments in the future, and we thank you for being here with us. Hopefully, you have enjoyed the ride as much as we have. Right, without any further ado, let's jump into the recap. Last time, the Apple Squadeth crossed a giant crevice, only to be attacked by a gargantuan blue bird. Banfor drank the bird's blood while attacking its back, Arcus blasted it with lightning, and Marley dealt it a whopping blow with her Song of Doom. They made camp among the bird's remains, then in the morning finished their journey toward the volcano. As night fell, they reached an obvious entrance on its southwestern face. Where were we? You guys had just arrived outside
the mountain, the volcano,
yeah,
right? We walked around the other side.
You made it there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. And I think I described
Southwest face of volcano finds entrance to thing with compass to Timutungi. That's what I have written down.
Yep.
I don't know what that means, but that's what I have written.
Okay.
Timutungi. Cool.
Timutungi is Te Reo for beginning.
Nice. I like it. And I think you should tell us stuff like that, definitely, on the podcast. People love that shit.
Every time I give you a name for something, it's 99% of the time a non-English word that holds the meaning for the thing.
I know that, but I think we forget to, like, tell the listeners that, you know?
Like, the Empress's name, not that it matters because she's really Gilliff, was the human name she was using was Tajna, which is, like, Slovakian for secret or something like that.
Nice.
We should just make sure that we do knowledge checks every time we encounter a person and be like, do I know the secret behind their name?
Roll. I want to know if I know a language other than the one in Ison. I just see if I can figure out what this is. Suddenly I know Russian, and I know that this means...
No, it's a loan word, right? I don't know the language, but I did live next to a nice little old Russian lady growing up, so I rolled and I have the knowledge.
Nice.
Hey, everyone.
Hello.
I got a fancy new car. Fun fact, everyone.
Wow.
Nice.
Drove down to Auckland to grab the little thing.
What breed?
It's a 2018 Mazda CX-5, and it has 6,000 Ks on the clock, and it does everything automatically, and I love it.
Very nice.
Saved my life twice on the drive back today, so that's fun.
Cool. Do you guys want to jump into where we were? It's been a few weeks.
Yes. Sorry, was that something that we were going to wait and do a thing?
No.
Are we gonna introduce ourselves? Because I feel like we haven't done that in a while.
And that's the beginning of the episode.
do you like how that's how I made Marley go away?
Yep. Introduce yourselves, ding-dongs.
Hey! Introduce yourself! I said hey! Introduce yourself!
Goddamn time.
I'm Nio. I'm a turquoise skin goblin. I'm a sea captain. Don't really have any experience beyond that, but I'm here with positivity, and I'm looking after some mice. Where would they be without me? They're probably in exactly the same predicament, but without a goblin friend.
Well, howdy, partners. It's your old pal, Banfor. This is the voice I do all the time. I'm a big old barracuda of a barbarian. and I'm just here to spread some love and friendship. What a time to be alive, darn tootin'.
That's how Banford always sounds, right?
I can get used to it if it isn't, because that is now how that's happening for the rest of time. Immemorial.
In memoriam.
Fucking in memoriam, cuz, to my old voice, because that's how it's happening. I'm a Mazda owner. I've changed.
What is happening today?
Everything.
Well, hey, I'm Jules. I play Marley Craft. Saxophone, bard, with a little bit of ranger in her, and a giant flying wolf.
Also in her.
No.
Beside. Learn your prepositions, Brent.
plus, everyone knows Marley's on top of of the wolf, which is riding him.
Not much better.
What, you don't like a doggy style? I don't know how to stop.
That's what Marley said.
I love my sex tape. All right.
Hey, y'all.
Hi, I'm Arcus, and I'm a cloud that likes to hug, but also I'm a demon. Are demons evil? I don't know. Let's find out.
Boom, there it is.
And you're Jules too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as in, not Jules too, but like Jules also.
Also Jules. but only on weekdays.
Right. Okay. And I'm the DM. My name is Brad.
Shut up, so Brad!
Here we go again. Bullying Brad Part 2. The remix.
Bullying Brad 2.
It's only Part 1, brother. Part 1 never stopped. There aren't even any chapters. It's just one long run-on sentence.
Just Brad's life.
So, if y'all are done being silly billies, last time, we fought a giant bird, like a monstrously gargantuan bird that flew out of a crevasse? I don't know.
I thought it was a ravine.
Crack in the ground. Big old
pronounced ravine.
Big old crack in the ground.
Ravine.
I swear, I promise you, there are at least six people in my city called Ravine or Ravine. And there are additional flicks on every single vowel and probably an extra Y.
Look, it's just a ground crack, okay?
Yep, big old crack in the ground.
Fancy words. Yep. It's a ground crack.
Anyway, a giant fuck off bird flew out of it and fought you guys. Banfor rode on its back and drank its blood.
Sure fucking did.
Which resulted in him having a very bad night afterwards of watery shits all night, so he didn't get any rest.
Got the hot snakes.
Yeah, so in this fight, you'll work together to take it down. Banfor on its back, Arcus successfully hitting it with lightning, and Marley did a Song of Doom, and it worked.
Finally got to use it! And I didn't even get that excited about when it worked, and I thought about that afterwards, and I was like, I should have been over the moon about that.
Yeah, Song of Doom, man. It's a force to be reckoned with.
Hell yeah.
You spent the night sleeping in or near its corpse, the bird's corpse, and then in the morning you finished the journey towards the volcano, which you, using the compass orb, determined is this Timatanga that you're going towards, and you went around to its southwestern face, where you saw the entrance to something as night is beginning to fall. So you're currently on at the base of this volcano, sort of desert-ish type terrain. Nighttime is coming. Banfor is not rested at all. And to describe this entrance, it's like a big carved out chunk of the volcano at its base, and it's lined with two rows of gigantic ornate stone pillars that sort of form a path leading down to a large rectangular opening into the mountain. And just for the briefest of seconds as you arrive, you, all three of you, or and Hodge and Nio, all see a figure standing in front of this entrance, like a human. From this distance, you could figure it's either a human or humanoid, at least. But then they sort of see you, and then a portal appears and the person disappears. They step into the portal.
I go, Draper!
And it just echoes, Draper, Draper, Draper.
Oh.
Intriguing.
Bamfor is going to be dragging his feet somewhat, as he's pretty stuffed. Am I right in thinking that I do have full hit points, though?
You have full hit points, but you... Oh, because
out
you
of
spent,
luck, out of rage.
Yeah, out of luck, out of rage. You spent a lot of hit dice, healing hit dice, to get back those hit points. You didn't get a full rest.
And second mechanical question. My spooky boy,
yep.
Is that daily or rest-based?
That's daily.
Okay. So I'd have to wait for midnight.
No, you used it the day before. This day you've just spent walking.
Oh, right, okay.
So I guess
so. Portal appears, portal disappears.
Yep.
We are at Kraken Mountain.
Yep. So this all happened sort of at a distance of about 200 feet. So just you saw him by the entrance, and then he bloop, disappeared.
Surveying the general area, is there any sort of areas that whatnots or hoojawatsits could be hiding away outside of our view?
Oh, absolutely. Like, there could be anything in the desert sands that you're standing on. There could be creatures in and amongst the lines of pillars. And, of course, you can't see what's inside the large rectangular door of the mountain. There could be, like, anything in the darkness.
And the door's about 200
Yay!
Feet from.
Yay! Yep. Let's go!
Yeah, so really your question here is, do you rest, or and if so, where? Or do you head on in? But it's all entirely up to you. I've given you the situation.
Bamfor could do with a rest, but is no man's fool. So he's going to trudge about 80 feet closer and just buff a brick down the entrance.
Okay, so you just walk 80 feet down the path of pillars?
Correct.
Okay. And just chuck a brick, and yeah, it goes a fair distance, and then it just clatters to the ground and echoes a little bit, and there's nothing in response.
Did it go through the entranceway?
Let's see, that would mean if you went 80 feet closer, it's 120 feet away. You can't throw half bricks 120 feet.
I can throw javelins 120 feet.
That's a good point.
That is a good point.
I'd say okay, roll me an athletics check.
Okay, that's fair also.
You're also very, very tired.
So you want disadvantage on that?
Okay, if you insist.
Cool, it's either a 24 or a 13, so it's going to be a 13.
Okay. You toss it most of the way. It doesn't quite make it to the door, but yeah, it, as I said, it hits the ground, clatters, echoes a little bit, but there's nothing happening in response.
Bamfor looks at Marley and Arcus.
Marley looks a little beat up. She's still suffering hit point damage, apparently.
No, you had a full rest and then just a day of walking.
Okay. Alright.
Yeah, Nio just says,
you saw that person, right? It was a person.
It was no person, Nio. Don't be crazy.
Oh, not this again. This is what happened with the frog on the beach.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, okay.
Are we going in there? Seriously? That looks spooky.
Marley pulls out the dagger and says, you don't have to, and twirls it a little bit.
No. I mean, I would come on now. I mean, somebody has to go through the door first. So, I mean, let's not look, you know, gift goblins in the mouth.
Well, what do you mean?
I mean nothing at all. Don't say a word.
Arcus, what does he mean?
Words are hard to understand sometimes.
A very ecumenical answer. Fantastic.
What kind of avoidance bullshit is that?
Just, before we go anywhere, I just wonder whether we shouldn't ask what we might be walking into. Because totally Marley... Yeah, totally Marley is thinking this but completely by herself, and Jules isn't caving to the intense pressure from the Discord to open Hadid's locker at all. That's not what's happening right now. At all. That's not. Marley's just real smart and thinks about opening the door.
I guess. Oh, yeah.
During this area of exposition, would it be a good idea that we consult... our oracle during some sort of camping and or rest?
I mean, sure. It wouldn't hurt to actually think about what we're about to do instead of just doing it. I mean, it's very out of character for the Apple Squadif to do that, but maybe we could do something new and do some research.
Well, we either go in and we fight something, or we stay out here and get a rest, or fight something. So we might as well fight a rest for you.
I think if you need the rest, dude, like, let's just do that, and we'll all take points of exhaustion before too long anyway.
Well, like, I haven't used all my rages, but, like, if I'm going to be pulling, any disadvantage off of like strength and things check, then we're gonna have trouble with puzzles.
Exactly. So, yeah, no.
But who knows what we might see camping out here?
Yeah, maybe we'll see a growing friendship.
Maybe the real treasure was the friendship that we found along the way, guys.
Turns out it wasn't. It was real treasure.
Oh, that's even better.
Cool. So we pitch a little camp amongst the columns.
Yeah, I reckon. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Are we immediately attacked by a column snake?
Right.
Yes. No. So the. Okay. So do you all sleep? Does everybody sleep, or do you take turns at watch?
Bamford does. Yes. He's had the squirts for a long time.
Okay, Bamford just goes, fuck it, I'm asleep.
Watch.
No, Bamford can go to sleep, that's fine. Because, like, we've got Hodge too, so Hodge could take a watch.
Yeah.
And then we wouldn't have to, you know? Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
But before that happens, I do absolutely open... the locker. Because I think people in Discord, our beautiful, beautiful fadies, might actually murder me if I don't do it soon.
Okay, so you open the dusty dimension locker. And for comedic effect, it creaks open because it's been a while.
Whoa, no.
And you get a string of messages from Haydet that I won't run through because it's a lot. It's like weeks worth of stuff.
Do them all.
This is for the fadies, Brad. This is for them.
I haven't written them down. They're just like him warning you about things that you're about to do, and they're all things that have happened now. So he basically summarizes your events, but he told you about them before they happened.
I love a good story. A bedtime story about the things that we've been through.
Yeah, that sounds great.
It's stuff like, there's a giant shark that's heading your way. You might want to prepare for that. And that village you're coming upon is called Duskmire. It's been abandoned for a long time because of these bat-like creatures that come at night. Don't stay there.
You're great, hate it.
There's an Etin causing a stampede of fur birds. Like, they're coming your way right now. You should probably get out of the way. And if you talk to the Etins, they're actually quite nice. Their names are Pete and Tim, and they know all about Timatanga. They could tell you a lot of information. But then again, so could I if you ever open this fucking door. But then, here's a little nugget of something, though. Whoa! I haven't seen one of those birds for, I don't even know how long. 15,000 years? I didn't think they were still around. In fact, they probably shouldn't be. Something's very wrong.
Uh-oh. Oh, wait, fuck.
Did we kill it? Oh, yeah.
No, but that's kind of fine, because how long's the brute wall been up, Brad?
Did we just destroy an endangered species, though?
No, we may have destroyed something that was trapped behind a giant wall that was designed to trap things that would kill everybody in Aizen behind, so that we all don't die.
Marley, roll an intelligence check? Or history?
Plus 4, so 19.
Yeah, you remember...
For history.
You remember being told by either Haydet or Gilliff, I can't remember which one gave you the rundown on what the Brute Wall actually is, but it's been up for about that length of time.
Oh, fuck!
Marley remembers that. And then...
And she gets a crushing wave of guilt at the same time.
The, whatchamacallit, the something, the locker goes quiet for like a fair few seconds, like there were pauses, and then you'll probably reach Timatanga by sundown. I don't really like what you're going to find. Please open the locker sometime soon and talk to me. Well, I guess if you're hearing this, you have. Say hello so I know you're there.
Hello.
And Marley's already said, fuck! So he's definitely heard that.
There's no need for a profanity, Marley. I'm here. Hi, Arcus.
Hello. Locker man.
How's the weather? Ha ha!
That's so original. That's good. You know what? You should make like a tablet and like stone that down. Keep an eye on that one. That's a good one.
I'm working on my tight five. I've got a spot coming up at an open mic. Pretain my owl is the MC. And then, yeah, the locker falls quiet.
Well, I'm glad he told us about his comedy hobby. It would make sense that a literal god, you know, would want to go up on stage and talk about themselves. God complex.
You would have one, wouldn't you?
You would.
It's pretty of a god simple, to be honest.
Hey, Dad, that's all very nice hand stuff, but are you trying to tell me the brute wall's down?
A few seconds passes for that to go into the void. Then he comes back going, about that, yes. So, I mean, you've already encountered two things that have come out from, the world is in for some shit.
Did we take too long, Hayden? Could we have stopped this?
Well, I'm not really sure if you could have stopped it. It was that Drafer kid.
Oh, he just left.
Does anyone, and I'm not naming names here, remember when some person said that we should.
I was literally waiting for you to say that.
Look, I've been pro murder of every child that we have met, and so far they have done nothing but fuck us over. All I'm saying is, if and when the world doesn't end, just wholesale it. Day one, rewrite. Okay? That's it. That's all. Because that little fuck, on record.
Well, unfortunately, without wielders like Drafer, the world would probably end anyway.
How's it going so far with them?
That's not true. Kalani's around. Mali doesn't say that.
I mean, if you asked if there are other wielders around, he would tell you.
What an interesting thing to be directed towards.
You have right now an open audience with the God of Knowledge.
Well, can we get someone like him to kill him?
Unfortunately, we can't really intervene in that kind of way. I could send Zero to, well, at least meet with Drafer, but to be honest, that boy's scary powerful. Until he runs out of raw magic, that is.
And when, pray chance, would that be?
Well, he can't have much left. He's probably using the last of it now before the surge arrives. Because he's going to get probably more powerful than me after it does.
Good.
So how far away is the surge? We've been hearing it's been coming any day now for 2 years. Not 2 years. That's Jules saying 2 years.
It's hard to say. It will definitely be this year, 1600 AC, but really it's up to the whims of Krover, the god who makes it.
Well, can we talk to him? Yeah.
Can we kill him?
Well, that's kind of what the gods are hoping to do.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Which ones?
All of them. That's...
Oh, awesome.
There are 12 gods, including Krover, and, well, basically, we're fed up. We want to get rid of him. It's going to take...
It does feel an inefficient system, doesn't it?
It's going to take...
To wipe out the world, yeah.
It's going to take the combined strength of all the rest of the 11 of us just to hold him at a certain level of power and hold him in one place at one time, so a select group of mortals could travel to him and try and kill him then and there.
Well, best of luck to those dickheads. Couldn't imagine it myself.
Bamfor?
Well, I'm rushed off my feet.
We started this.
We didn't start this. The gods started this.
Well, Bamfor, it's funny you say, because Sorgamol actually has a different plan for you.
Oh, cool. What's that?
I don't know.
Oh. Well,
you have to talk to Sorgamol.
Yeah, but how do you find the cunt, you know?
What? Are you calling a little girl a cunt?
Well, it's just, you know, one anthropomorphization of an otherwise indigent godhead, you know? I wouldn't mind being called that if I was, you know, death incarnate.
You almost are, you cunt.
Hey, see? Not a moment of issue there with that particular descriptor.
I mean, Jules has an issue with that, but sure.
Hey, look, God said it.
Sorry.
What was I going to ask? Oh, how many gods are connected to the world now?
All of them except for Kashtar at the present time, but we're working on that.
So is that all you need to be able to stop him?
Once Kashtar comes on board, then all the 11 will be able to get together and formulate our plan. At the moment, the best idea we've got is that at the exact point the surge arrives, if we use that burst of power coming in and forming a channel into the world to maybe send some mortals out of the world, maybe they can meet Krover face to face. But if those mortals ever return, Well, this has never been done before, so we don't know if there is a return.
Right.
So, more specifically, that spooky door over there, what's popping?
Well, that's the entrance to Timatanga. It's kind of the spiritual resting place of Krover. It's where Krover's offshoots, Anfa and Gilliff, I believe you've met Gilliff.
Mm-hmm.
Where every time they die, this is where they're reborn, in whatever form they take.
I was hoping to get to Gilliff before she did this.
Well, unfortunately, my powers don't extend to being able to see what's inside there. That's Krover's domain.
So what you're saying is we have to go in there to see if Gilliff still survived.
Unfortunately, yes. I can't tell you anything about it. If I knew, I'd tell you.
Do you have any magic dealies or whatnots? What might be of assistance in this particular paradigm thing?
I'll whip something up.
Please do. I mean, please do.
Give the DM until the next session and he'll have a sweet item for you.
Hell, man. If it could be something that stops me getting taken advantage of because of my dumb brain. Always appreciate it. Some sort of lemon-fueled helmet.
Don't do that. That's the only way I beat him.
That and your insane charisma.
Okay. That was a lot. That was a lot of information. Okay. Molly turns around to Hayter as she's processing and she's like, oh, Hayter, have you met new Hodge, by the way?
I have. And Sorgamol's pretty pissed off about that. But I think he's a good boy.
I turn around to Hodge and I give him, like, you know, like the double, like, jowl kind of scratch?
Where I'm just the classic shush.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's right, you're my good boy. Cool, so, back to Hayter. Anybody got anything else they want to ask, Hades?
So do we need to get the other god on board? Is that what needs to happen then? Is that the next step? Because there are the
You're answering.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I think the next step, the direct one now, is get rid of Gilliff. So right. She can't cause any more problems, basically, than she already has.
Because what did she do?
This all happened before you kind of came on.
Okay, good. I was like, did something happen and I didn't remember it, and now I'm just being a really bad teammate.
Get me up to speed.
What's going on? Who's
100%. Yes, so she was the empress, basically, of, like, Arkvale, you know, the people that we were in the resistance against. Uh-huh. So Arkvale had kind of forcibly taken over Aizen. She was sort of in charge of all of that. We were in the resistance, trying to beat her back, rah, rah, rah. She ended up meeting with Marley and basically being like, so I need you to kill me? And Molly was like, don't have a problem with that because you're the leader of, like, everything I hate. So,
and that was to get back to here so she could release.
So essentially she dies, so she gets reborn, the brute wall comes down. That's why Molly's having a crisis right now because it's her fault. She didn't know that, like, she was, like, Gilliff and what that meant. Well, she kind of knew but, like, didn't understand all of what it meant.
So because, if we kill her here, does she just come back again? Or is there a more permanent way to kill her, Hayter?
Well, yeah.
Well, that's just the thing. Gilliff has always been, and, well, by the rules of her or its biology, it will always be, as long as there's a Krover. That's why we want to get rid of Krover, to get rid of her.
So we don't kill her now?
Or do we get Ampher on board somehow? I'm kind of hoping, like, because Gilliff and Ampher are, like, opposites, from my understanding. Yeah. And if they both came from Krover, then potentially, I don't know.
Kill Krover, you kill both sisters.
Ooh, one of them three for the price of one thing, eh?
Yeah, and if this temple is like the heart of Krover,
that was
where I was hoping to find Gilliff and stop the whole brute wall coming down thing, but that's not a thing. That's happened. Ironically, like, my other character in the other campaign probably helped that happen somehow, because to take down the brute wall, you have to have dragon blood and a wielder, and my character in the other game that runs alongside this one called Surge is actually dragon blooded, so fun. So I'm double to blame for this happening, basically.
Okay, so yeah. What should we
just as a fair warning too, we do know that dragons potentially were held behind the brute wall too, so there may or may not be dragons in the world now.
Well, look, we've already done some dungeons.
It's time. People in Isen don't actually believe dragons exist because they haven't existed for 15,000 years. So,
I don't know that though. I'm a cloud demon.
Yeah, I don't know what happens in
clouds,
like,
all the time.
Demon world, you know, like what you see up there compared to what's happening down on Isen.
Arcus has seen cloud demons. Oh, cloud dragons and stuff.
Yeah, cloud dragons.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that's you pretty much caught up in terms of all the craziness. So I guess then we're here because this is Krover's, like, heart place. So if the surge is going to happen and we're going to get sent, well, somebody's going to get sent to deal with it, then maybe this would be the best place to be when that happens?
Yeah, as a DM, to be honest, you don't really know why you're here, other than Queen Shan was basically given instruction to tell you to come here.
Which Marley was fine with, because potentially this is where Gilliff might have been, you know?
But now we know that we can't kill Gilliff until we kill Krover.
Mm-hmm.
And to kill Krover, we need all of the gods on our side for it?
Yeah.
To then do a thing?
Yeah, you could kill Gilliff, but she'll just keep coming back.
Yeah, right.
So do we go in and do something, or do we leave?
Buy yourself, kill her, buy yourself a couple of weeks of no Krillip, no Gilliff, and then keep coming back and doing that. Rinse and repeat.
As another side note, I actually know that Kashtar is sorted. Technically, not at this point, but it will be.
Jeff and Simon weren't the whole equation. There's another factor.
Okay, cool. Because Jeff and Simon did a whole lot of work to help with that in the little kid-friendly podcast that we have.
Cute.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So this conversation's all happening before you sleep for the night.
Well, yeah, it kind of has to, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
So we sleep great.
Yeah, roll for bad dreams. Give me a bad dreams table.
Yeah, plagued with,
impending
plagued with fear and doubt. Roll a D100.
Everyone?
Yeah, why not?
God damn.
I rolled an 82.
Okay.
I rolled a 9.
Okay, Banfo, you sleep like a log.
Good. Needed it.
I got 72.
Okay. JD and Arcus and Marley, you both have dreams that have you have the same dream, but you don't know that, you won't know that unless you discuss it. Of just like lots of clashing colors and sort of like individual colors smashing at each other. 12 colors, in fact, like bombarding each other. And one is like glowing purple, and it sort of seems to be the one telling you a story. Like the glowing purple color is like the main player in this scene that of just colors bashing into each other. And then you wake up in the morning, fully rested.
So do I know who's purple? Can I have like roll a religion check to see if I know?
Yeah, I mean, if you think that would be something to do with religion, then certainly, by all means.
Could I roll a history check as well?
Yeah. Well, it seems likely because we're talking about gods, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you say that as a player, though, with meta knowledge?
Well, I mean, sure, but yeah. I mean, she was just talking to Haydet before bed, so it kind of makes sense.
It's like eating cheese.
Yeah, like, don't talk to Haydet before bed or you're going to dream about gods. Like, yeah. I rolled a 17, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, you get the impression that this is, you know, you were just talked to about 12 gods, and so there were 12 colors all bashing at each other. And you figured that there was the dream was probably representative of that. But you couldn't make sense of why one of them was sort of glowing brighter than the others, and it was purple.
Fair. What'd your history turn out like?
I got a 13, so.
Yeah, well, you don't know anything about the history of Isin. You come from a different realm. but your realm is of a few of Isin's gods, Tretora, and I think we decided. Which one was it? Was it life or chaos?
I feel like they're both big possibilities. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, mainly Tretora either way. But yeah, so the dream doesn't mean anything to you. It's just colours.
Cool, great. I had the best dream last night.
Really?
It was real bright and I swear to God, I saw like a colour I've never seen before.
Molly is not her usual self as she's walking around the campsite this morning. Like, she still got up early and she still fed Hodge and like packed down her tent and stuff. Like, she's still done all of that like busy work, but she's not like singing away to herself while she's doing it this morning.
Yep.
We've woken up in sort of the Gooch area of Satan. Like, we're directly adjacent to the butthole of Satan.
Satan's bussy.
Satan's bupus area.
Episode title.
Satan's bupus. So I imagine we break a fairly speedy camp, and sort of just get ready for the day we know is about to happen.
Yeah, I think so.
It's probably not going to be cool, but it might be exciting.
Hey everyone, DM Brad here, cutting in with a confession to all you lovely fadies. The recording finished there, but the game didn't. We kept going, even when the technology demons took it from us. You hear that, Haydet? You can't stop us, you annoying nerd. So in lieu of hearing how it actually went down, here is a high-energy recap of what the technology demons tried to hide from you, featuring voices by my amazing wife, Mel Zimmerman. Okay, here we go. The Apple Squadeth entered through the large rectangular opening in the volcano and into a dark stone corridor. Arcus said,
"Swipe my body, shine my light!"
casting the light spell on themselves and becoming a torch to ward off the ancient gloom. The corridor opened up into a large circular dome chamber. With Arcus and Marley's dark vision, they determined there were four exits. The one through which they just entered, let's call it 6 o'clock, and open rectangular doorways at 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 9 o'clock positions. Arcus noted that the walls were covered with carved symbols and words in Celestial, all of which say things like Power is everything.
Power is everything.
There is naught but power.
There is naught but power.
Power is the one true God.
Power is the one true God.
And other pro-power propaganda. Banfor said,
I've got an idea.
Before snatching Nio from Hodge's back and tying a 50-foot rope to the poor scared goblin.
No, no, why are you doing this?
Banfor swung her around in a widening arc.
Ah, ah, ah.
He hurled her straight ahead and she landed with a thump on the hard stone in front of what looked like an open doorway, but upon inspection was actually a black slab of stone with two small circular indentations on its face. Nio got pulled back, nursing her bruises. Banfor, still holding the rope, said,
I'm gonna do that again.
No! Why is nobody helping me? Ah! Ah! Ah!
Banfor threw the goblin to the right, and Marley reflexively touched Nio's leg and cast bravery to grant 5 temporary hit points as she soared past. Nio's flung body disappeared through the 3 o'clock doorway, and the rope went taut. When Banfor pulled Nio back, he noticed his victim was clearly bumping and thumping as if coming up a flight of stairs. She returned unconscious. Arcus ran over, concerned.
Oh my god, is Rain okay?
And fetched Rain the mouse, who was intact but shaken up. Marley said,
I guess I'll heal her or whatever.
Placing her hands on Nio, who awoke muttering, delirious and in a state of shock.
Stairs, rope, why?
Banfor approached the 9 o'clock doorway and threw a glowing stone into the darkness. It bounced down, down, down a long narrow stone staircase until it disappeared from view. The squaddeth waited and listened, but heard no stirring or movement in response. Realizing that their options were stairs to the left, stairs to the right, and a solid stone slab straight ahead, they opted to choose a stairwell at random and began heading down the stairs to the right. They travelled down for a few hundred feet and came to a slightly smaller circular stone room, with a glowing orange pile of something in the middle. It gave off considerable heat and Banfor tried to use it to light a cigarette.
Uh-oh!
He said as the pile shook and fell apart, revealing it to be 6 small magma creatures who didn't seem too happy about being disturbed. Dungeon alert! Dungeon alert! We've been playing Dungeons & Dragons for 2 years and there's finally a dungeon! Huzzah! Will there also be dragons? You'll have to wait and see. Hey, big thank yous to our awesome Patreon supporters, Alex White Robinson, Person Who Wants to Stay Anonymous, Robert Baldino from Not Quite Heroes Podcast, Aaron Cucci, Laura Kristen Goodwin, James Blyser from Wheel of Woe Podcast, Sajah Hodgkins, Laura Douglas, Mel Zegler, Roger Afamata, Sam Malcolm from Table Tales, Kydron Faust, Lauren Blake, Kaidea Love, Rihanna Kavalsik, Kevin Swift from The Dice Cult, Ben Edwards, Victorian Gavin Porter, Daniel Nixon from The Happy Go Lucky Podcast, KP and Squish! Ah! We couldn't make the show without your support, and we really appreciate having you on the team. As always, don't forget to get in touch with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, wherever you want to try and do the hellos. Those are pretty much all at Fate of Ison, or you can email fateofison@gmail.com, or jump on over to Discord to chat with us about whatever. There's a link to the Discord on our website, fateofison.com. Alrighty, see you next time, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Gosh, dang it.
What is it, Filson?
Well, Tommy, I just got done listening to the Role Playing Guys podcast.
And?
It was painfully informative. All they do is talk about games I've never heard of.
What do you mean?
Well, every season they take a new TTRPG and they playtest it. Like I just listened to the season where they play Corporia.
Oh, you mean the awesome cyberpunk game set in the corporate-controlled future?
Yeah, that's the one. Ugh, and they also played this game called Numenera.
That's the one about the post-apocalyptic future where a ton of knowledge has been lost, but ancient technology is being found, right?
Yes, and Wrath and Glory, have you ever heard of that?
Of course, I love Warhammer 40K.
Jeez, you sure know a lot of these games.
I sure do, but I haven't had the time, and my adventuring party hates testing out new games.
I guess you might like the show. All I know is I'm tired of learning all these new games.
Thanks, I'll have to check them out.
If Tommy sounds like you, a passionate game lover looking for the next game to try out, you are sure to love the Roleplaying Guys podcast. Every week they come out with a new episode, and every season it's a new game. They test out new games so you don't have to. If you sound more like Filson, stay as far away from this podcast as possible. You might inadvertently come across a new game that you'll love, and you'll have to learn all about it. The Roleplaying Guys is a Necropodicon show.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.